Honourable members, I wish to draw to your attention Standing Order 356. It says, no member shall refer to any other member by name. While this standing order pertains to members, I wish to discourage the practice of referring to members of the public or business companies in your presentations. They are not present in this Honourable House, neither can they participate in this debate to either agree or refute any information that members may supply this Honourable House. So in that light, I would ask members to avoid the use of names of members of the public during this debate and furthermore during any debate. Thank you.
I'll let some direction there for the Honourable members of the House from the Speaker. We continue with the debate. We just heard from the representative for Answer Calories, the Honourable Dr. Keith Mondavi, Minister for Health, Wellness, Family Affairs, National Mobilization, Human Services and Gender Relations. The next speaker to contribute to the debate this afternoon will be the Honourable Arthin James. He is the MP, the Member of Parliament for Miku South.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Gondi. I'm speaker. I consider I'm a executive member. So, my parliament to pass every no money with my company. By consider the you can say presentation. And you can prepare it. So, I never got to change. Members
of the Parliament, ministers, I wish to rise to support fully the budget address of the Honourable Prime Minister to the nation, where he delivered his address with a budget amount of $1.3 billion. Madam Speaker, in spite of all the challenges facing this government over the years, especially between 2009 and 2010, it was very commendable that this government was able to achieve economic growth of 4.4% in 2010. When I listened, Madam Speaker, to the member for Soufre, he made light of this achievement. And he dominated his speech on the mandate of this government for the year 2008 and 2009. And he said that this government was not speaking the truth because they were not able to deliver. But what he didn't say, Madam Speaker, is that during that same period of time, there was this global financial crisis. And this financial meltdown all over the world, and therefore it was difficult for countries the world over to manage their economies effectively. I want to tell him that circumstances alter situations, and he must be aware of that. And I want to tell him that history shows that this has happened in the past as well. I want him to refer to the Economic and Social Review for 2010, and Chapter 1, Domestic Economic Development. And if you look at the real GDP growth, he will realize that in 2001, 2002, phase one, the real GDP growth, 2001, 2002. In fact, in 2001, there was negative growth of below 4.4%, minus 4%. And in 2002, there was also negative growth of about minus 2%. And I remember as being a member of that House and in opposition during that time. It was said, and I remember clearly, that this was as a result of 9/11 and the drought in 2001. So these were the circumstances given for that performance. I denied it because I said that 2001, that 9/11 could not deter good performance in our banana industry. That is what I said. I said it could not affect our banana production because we did not sell bananas to the United States. We sold bananas to the United Kingdom, and that was my defense during that time. So circumstances, that was the reasons given. These were the reasons given. And to add to this, it was said that the economy was in transition during that period of time. So, Madam Speaker, when we make light of growth, to show that in 2 years previously, we did not meet our mandate, I think that the member was escaping the reality. Madam Speaker, as you know, during Hurricane Thomas, our school plans were battered severely by the devastation of Hurricane Thomas. As a result, we were unable to have school for about 2 weeks, approximately 2 weeks. I want to take this opportunity to thank the general public, to thank parents, the number of parents who worked so hard. I want to thank the various ministries, the Ministry of Communication and Works, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Social Transformation, the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Home Affairs. I want to thank the Plant and Equipment Unit in the Ministry of Education. I want to thank the education officers, the principals, the teachers, the students, the teachers' union. All of those groups and persons came on board to ensure that school reopened speedily. I want to thank all of them most sincerely for their effort. But as you know, in spite of this attempt to bring back the school plants to stability, we still have a number of challenges to deal with. And I am hoping that with the assistance of various organizations, we will be able to do so within the next 2 years. Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister alluded to some of the programs which the Ministry of Education is now undertaking. And he, in his speech, indicated that the minister would elaborate on some of those initiatives. It is my duty this afternoon to do just that. Madam Speaker, a quality education system is fundamental to a nation's economic, social, and sustained development for global competitiveness. We in the Ministry of Education developed an education sector development plan for 2009-2014. And that plan focuses on making our nation competitive so that our citizens can hold their own in any part of the world. Our philosophy is that every child can learn, no matter what his or her economic circumstances. That is our philosophy. No matter what his or her economic status or his or her socioeconomic background, no matter who their parents are, from what families they come from, what area they live in, and we believe that anyone who does not hold such a philosophy does not belong in the field of education. It is true that every child is different, but we also believe that every child can learn given the right environment, given the proper facilities, given the proper opportunities, and of course, the teachers to teach them. The Ministry of Education and Culture is working within the broad framework of a number of global, regional, and sub-regional initiatives, and there are many, and I will just name a few. CARICOM Single Market and Economy, OECF Education Reform Unit, Pillars of Partnership and Progress Vision 2020, the Millennium Development Goals, UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, and World Summit for Children, Education for All, and that was the DACA framework for action. Based on this, the Ministry of Education and Culture has prioritized its work in its educational sector development plan, which I mentioned previously. And during the last fiscal year, the ministry was able to focus specifically on those issues. Improving quality and relevance of education and curriculum implementation. Institutional and professional capacity building. Improving partnerships in education. Upgrading Sahapalis to a university college. ICT education and TVET and skills development within the school system. Let us look at students' performance generally. When we look at the CSEC examination, which is known as the CXC, pass rates for the individual subjects range from 41% to 100%. The 41% was in mathematics. That's the lowest performance, mathematics. But this performance of 41% coincided with the average performance of mathematics within the OECS. The overall pass rate at the general and technical proficiency level was 73.83%. That was a little above the 2009 performance. Among the 24 schools that wrote the examination, our three top schools were, and I quote, Leon Hess, St. Joseph's Convent, with 98.83%, St. Mary's College with 94.96%, and Leon Heath Comprehensive with 92.02%. Out of the 24 schools, only 3 performed below the 50% average. And that was a very, very big improvement over 2009. With CAPE and A-level examinations, the overall pass rate for Sir Arthur Lewis Community College and Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School at the advanced level was 72.25% for Sir Arthur and 79.93, the average was 75.25 for both schools, and the percentage for Sir Arthur was 79.93 and Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School 63.50. At the general paper level, Sir Arthur Lewis Community College attained a pass rate of 96.89 and Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School 95.92. We move on to professional development. The Ministry of Education conducted the following, and that is something that was promised before but was not done consistently. I think it was done sometime before, but we did it again. The induction for all new principals and vice principals. We felt that before principals and vice principals were sent to the school, we should have an induction program for them so that they would go to the schools with some knowledge as to what to expect, so they would be more confident to begin or to commence their principalship and vice principalship. There was also diversification of the curriculum. We expanded the curriculum by bringing in physical education, music, theater arts to all our primary schools. There was also something new, learn to swim classes in District 6, 7, and 8. Because, you know, before students learn, or children learn to swim because they frequent the rivers and the sea, but now not many children frequent the rivers. They normally stay home where they have pipe-borne water, and many of them grow up not being able to swim. So that was welcome, learn to swim classes, and that was done in District 6, 7, and 8. And of course, we expect that this can be expanded to some of the other districts. There was also the expansion of the steel band program in schools. There was also introduction of behavior modification, and that was organized by UNESCO in some of our schools. We also had a career exposition for all secondary schools, and that was done one in the north and one in the south of the island. Early childhood education. Early childhood education caters for children between the ages of 0 and 8. And so we have within that unit, we have the early childhood, we have preschool, we have the roving caregivers program, and of course we have the infant schools. The accomplishments to date are increased access to early childhood education for the roving caregivers program. And this is a program which a number of districts are now asking for, because it is a program where caregivers visit the home and they work formally and informally with parents and children. Now some of these children, because of their economic situation, are not able to go to preschool or daycare. Therefore, this gives them a taste of the formal learning situation. And parents work with those children in helping them to socialize, in helping them, telling them stories, helping them to learn, and so forth. Provide support services for children from birth to 3 years with special needs or living difficulties. Promote excellence within the education sector by providing staff and practitioners and parents with opportunities for professional development. Primary education. We know in St. Lucia that for decades now, we have achieved what is known as universal primary education. We continued our efforts to improve quality and equity through diversifying, and creating a balanced curriculum, and as I said before, including performing arts, visual arts, sports, and physical education. We also increased student support services, training of teachers. We also focused on the literacy and numeracy skills. We also focused on improved physical plans, new modalities of instruction and assessment. We have one problem, one recent challenge facing both the primary and secondary school. And that is, with the introduction of universal secondary education, some of the students who transit from grade 6 to form 1 at the secondary school level, they do so without the necessary requisite skills for that grade level. And we are bombarded by principals that some of those children are not able to read, and some of those children are not able to write. They get to the form 1 not being able to do so. And as a result, they have problems in being able to follow the secondary school curriculum adequately. So what we decided to do? Monitor and evaluate school performance monthly and provide necessary support to the schools at the primary school level. Increase class supervision and monitoring of instruction also in the primary schools. Increase professional development opportunities, in-service training, and on-the-job training for teachers, principals, education officers, and other officers. Establish ICT in primary education. Integrate and utilize instructional ICT programs and resource materials in all primary schools. Through LIME, the Taiwanese government, and the INTIME program. As you know, there is the INTIME program. It is a collaboration of Mr. Michael Walker, the Taiwanese government, and LIME. LIME provided the broadband. The Taiwanese government provided the computers. And Mr. Walker provided the in-time program. So this is ongoing within the school system. Of course, This system involves the use of computer. And of course, we will show you how this program will be complemented by another program involving the use of computers. Our secondary education. In 2007, the ministry attained universal secondary education, and access to secondary school by providing a physical space for every child. It began in 2006, but in 2006 there was difficulty with space. And of course, the Ministry of Education at that time had to buy space at the secondary academy. But since 2007, that was eliminated and space was provided within the system for all the students who go to secondary school. And at the secondary school, what we try to do, implement a broad, balanced, and differentiated curriculum. Because of course, in that case, you remember we said that the principals complained that some students who were getting to the schools not able to read and write. Increase enrollment in science and technological subjects at secondary schools, and integrate and utilize instructional ICT programs and resource materials in schools. Science, we try to ensure that we increase our science subjects within the school. And of course, we had a dearth in science teachers in biology, chemistry, physics, even mathematics. We had a problem, and we are trying to encourage more students to do the science subjects. Improve standards of students' achievement in all subjects, and in particular, mathematics and English. Now, the reason we say in particular mathematics and English are two important subjects at the CSEC level, in particular, because to get to university, even to get a job on the market, they always ask for English and mathematics. So what we try to do is to ensure that every child at the secondary school level do English language and mathematics. Enforce that every child leaving secondary school should write at least 5 subjects, including English and mathematics. Now, some students leave school having 6 CXT subjects, and they do not have English and mathematics. And they are stuck because they cannot move on to tertiary level education, and sometimes they cannot even find a job. They have 6 subjects, but because they do not have English and mathematics, they run into difficulty. In his budget address, the Prime Minister spoke of the need to regulate the teacher-student ratio in schools. And this we will endeavor to address. Now, the reason why that was brought about is because it appears that the student population is decreasing. We are having what is known as, in the education system, we call the falling rolls. And there is a noticeable trend, particularly at our grade 6 at the primary school and grade form 1 at our secondary school. For this reason, we have smaller classes now at the primary school level. We have available space at the secondary school level. We are beginning to notice this. When we did our analysis this year, we realized that we have 252 more places that children will not be able to fill in this year. Now, what we realize that is going to have implications. It's going to have implications for staffing, and it may even have implications for some of our secondary schools. So we began to discuss the, we have begun to discuss the problem with the Teaching Service Commission, with the teachers' union. We have sat down and we begin to look at that trend. Because what happened last year is that last year there were no Form 1s at the Grand Rivière Secondary School and no Form 1s at the Beaufort Technical Secondary School. Now, if that trend continues, you know what, this is, what is going to happen in the long run. Then you will have no Form 2s, no Form 1s, and then you'll have no Form 3s and so on until eventually you'll have problems. Now, we are looking at ways to deal with this. The less students you have, the less teachers you will have. So this is a challenge for us now to look at how we solve this problem. So that is why we begin to have meetings with Teachers Union and Teaching Service Commission to see how we can address that problem. Well, the dropouts, it's very small dropouts since with the support system, you don't have many dropouts now. Okay. Adults, learning and education. We have NELU, which is the National Enrichment and Learning Program. And the goal of this unit is to improve the level of literacy by about 50% by the year 2015. And of course, with the bid to reduce literacy, we are hoping that we will promote lifelong and continuous learning within the population. Now, literacy is very, very important, and one of the things that is being done at the primary school is to see whether literacy you can begin to eradicate illiteracy at your primary school level. And to highlight the importance of literacy, every year there is a Reading Awareness Month in the month of May. We want to make reading very special. Special at the primary school level, special at the secondary school level, special within the population. So there is the Reading Awareness Week in May. The theme for this year is literacy and empowerment. And there is a suggestion that we should make every second Wednesday of May a National Reading Day. In other words, that day, every second Wednesday in May, make it a National Reading Day. And there were two suggestions of two themes, or two slogans for it. St. Lucia Reads, or Read Across St. Lucia. Now, one of the slogans will be adopted for the National Reading Day, which we envisage would be the second Wednesday in May of every year. Student support services. Without the support services to help our needy students, our students who are less privileged, our students who have economic difficulties, financial difficulties, many of our students probably would not be able to get to school, or many of them would drop out of the school system. And of course, there are a number of initiatives under the support service system. There is the primary book bursary program, which I'm sure most parliamentarians know of. The textbook rental program at the secondary school level, I think you know that as well. We have what is known as special beneficiaries, and that goes for students in CARE, Donator, SDA Secondary. Some of those students, you know, these students, they come under what is known as the private school system. And so we give those persons who are economically challenged, special privileges, special help. Of course, the school feeding program, we know of this. And after Hurricane Thomas, the need for such a program became more pronounced. Many more students came on board because, you know, after Hurricane Thomas, a number of parents were not able to achieve the things that they used to before. They did not have the revenue, they did not have the income. And so many more students came on board after Thomas. So when some of our school plants were battered by Hurricane Thomas, there was much pressure on the Ministry of Education to ensure that the feeding program was up and running. And of course, we have expanded and we have added some schools, and we hope that we will be able to do so, add some more in the near future. We also have the school's guidance and counseling plan, which you know of. We have the transportation subsidy program, and that goes with the secondary school program. And this is a program that has helped tremendously. In fact, a number of principals are reporting to us now that because of this program, a number of students who did not come to school before, who were dropouts, were able to come to school because they did not have the problem of having to pay transportation. Because what has happened with the way students are selected for the secondary schools, you may find a student traveling from Beaufort to Grand Rivière, or a student traveling from Grand Rivière to Beaufort. And because of the economic situation of their parents, it's difficult sometimes for them to pay the transportation, which in some cases amount to about $200, $250 per month. So the transportation subsidy definitely helps. Well, so far we have 17 schools, secondary schools on board, with an average of 2,500 students and 154 bus drivers employed. We were hoping that we would have been able to extend this to all 24 schools, but the global economic meltdown has had us to keep it or cap it at 17 schools for now. Of course, we have the special education and other support services. There are 5 special education centers in St. Lucia, which cater to the needs of students with learning impairments. And so the ministry provides support for all of those centers. Additionally, we provide support, or we focus on evaluation of special education programs in school, national guidance, curriculum development, and approved life skills, career and behavioral management, assessment tool for evaluating those institutions. We have an HIV policy and plan. We have health and family life education, training programs conducted for teachers and counselors, principals, education officers, and parents. I spoke a while ago, or I mentioned the Roving Care Givers program that was funded by Bernard Vanille Foundation. This program, sponsorship for this program, comes to an end in December of this year. And we would like this program to continue. I think it is a very worthwhile program. And so what we are trying to do is to seek sponsorship for the continuation of such a program. Because as I said, that program it reaches out to young children between the ages of 0 and 3, 0 and 4, who normally would not have access to any formal institutions like daycares, preschool, and so on. And that program does not only work with children, but it also works with the parents as well. Now, there are some initiatives that the ministry is now undertaking. As I said, the Prime Minister alluded to some of them. We are trying to upgrade. We are now upgrading the Viewport Comprehensive Secondary School Campus D. This institution has been doing exceptionally well. They're doing well both academically and in sports. And there were quite a number of wooden buildings, a little hut. We are trying to remove those huts and give them, you know, one building. And we have a project, phase two. We are now in phase two. And that project is going to cost about $1 million. So that we can $1.1 million. So that they can house the school population and remove the dilapidated wooden extensions. There are quite a number that are now standing there. Of course, another initiative is the Economic Reconstruction Program. The Economic Reconstruction Program is financed by the Caribbean Development Bank for a cost of approximately $50 million EC, and that amount is shared between the Ministry of Education and Ministry of Health. And what this is doing is really to rehabilitate the school plot, some of those schools that have been in a dilapidated condition. And 9 million EC is allocated for that. And some of the schools that are to be completed by December 2011 include the Ave Maria Girls Infant, Balata Primary, Debarra Primary, Deriso Primary, Fonte Jacques Primary, Forestier Combined, La Croix Mengo Primary, Marsha Combined, RC Boys Infant, RC Boys Primary, and Tiroshi Combined. So these are the schools we are hoping that will be completed by December 2011 with the phase two of that program. We have the Education Enhancement through Information and Communications Technology Program, that is the EU grant funding of 4 million euros. The Prime Minister mentioned this in his budget address. The overall objective of this program is to build a foundation for the sustainable economic, social, and cultural development of rural communities in St. Lucia through the introduction and integration of ICT. The main purpose of the program is to improve the learning and teaching process of schools and provide the necessary skills to increase competitiveness in the job market through the employment of ICT. The program has been launched, and of course, the emphasis was on rural primary schools, but with the in-time program and some schools already having computer labs, we hope to extend that program to all primary schools. And we would not concentrate merely on rural, because some schools already have well-equipped computer labs, some have computers due to the in-time program. So what we are going to do is to ensure that every school will be provided with the necessary computers so that all children at the primary school level will have access to a computer and hopefully will become computer literate. Now, added to this program also will be used to facilitate members of the public, persons who have left school, and other members of the public by allowing those persons to make use of those computers after school, so that they too can have access to computer education, they too can have access to the computer and thereby become computer literate. This program will work hand in hand with the entire program. No, ni un programme côté nous gagne computer à la toute l'école primary statistique. Programme ça, c'est pour assurer toute maman qui a servi au computer. Toute maman qui a l'école à primary school qui a servi au computer. Mais aussi, programme ça, c'est pour tout le monde dans la communauté à côté de l'école. Especially, monde qui pas jamais manier un computer, qui pas connaître manier un computer qui travaille, il y a une opportunité pour apprendre ce qui est un computer. Et puis, il y a tout qui joue un service. Ce service qui bénéficie ma maille l'école et qui a aussi bénéficié ces mouna qui est communauté. We also have going for us as well the BEEP program, the Basic Education and Enhancement Project. And this is a project where we secured a loan of 37.8 million dollars at an interest rate of 2.5% per annum. Initially, that program was meant to do a number of things. Do major repairs on 8 schools in St. Lucia. And also to provide quality enhancement and school effectiveness and for enhancement of the learning space. But since the passage of Hurricane Thomas, we have reviewed this. We have reviewed this. We had discussion with the World Bank. The World Bank will, the Caribbean Development Bank, they will continue to ensure that they do the major repairs and build a new school in Lagos. But they have also added new works to this. They have decided that they are going to do repairs and refurbish work on some of the schools that the World Bank will not do. Because there is also, as I speak, a World Bank project, and this World Bank project, also alluded by the Prime Minister, it is a project that came about after the passage of Hurricane Thomas. And the World Bank has agreed to do work on Sir Arthur Lees Community College, 9 secondary schools, and 15 primary and infant schools, and also to build a new school, infant school, at January. I will not venture to give you the details or the names of all the schools, but I can do so at some other time. Anybody wishing to find out whether schools in the constituency fall under that program, we can provide you with the necessary information. Apart from that, the World Bank has agreed to replace damaged items, which includes furniture, machinery, fixtures, and electrical equipment, electronic items and tools, stationery and instructional supplies, cleaning supplies, resource materials, and other items which would include things like blenders, electric kettles, food processors, cake mixers, keyboards, recorders, sofa chairs, folding tables, and so on. So there's a lot there in this World Bank project. And as I said, there are 9 secondary schools, 15 primary and in infant schools, and to build a new school, new infant school for January. The World Bank has also agreed that it would try to increase the water storage capacity for cluster schools by installation of rainwater harvesting systems with a capacity to store 50 gallons of water. And 12 schools are involved in that cluster. And most of these schools are around the Castries Basin. Roosevelt Primary, Castries Comprehensive Secondary, St. Aloysius Alcy. 50,000 gallons. 50,000 gallons. St. Aloysius Alcy Boys Primary, Dexter Infant School, Entrepo Secondary, Vidbutel Secondary, Ave Maria Girls Primary, Flannan Mason, Newport Primary School, Canaries Primary School, Souffle Primary School, and Nicol Secondary Schools. So these are some of the things that the World Bank project post Hurricane Thomas will be doing.
Honorable member, you have 10 more minutes to complete your presentation. Honourable Member for
Barbados. Madam Speaker, I beg that you invoke Standing Order 3210 to allow the member for Nicol South another 60 minutes.
Honourable Member, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow Honourable Member for Nicol South to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. 60 minutes. I didn't say that? Okay, let me put the motion again, I'm sorry. The question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow Honorable Member for Nicol South an additional 60 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it, the ayes have it. Honourable Member, you have an additional 60 minutes.
Thank you, Madam. Speaker, thank you, colleagues, thank you, members. This the DEEP project, we said that there were 8 schools that would benefit from major rehabilitation and refurbishment and the building of a new school in Lagae. Teachers will also benefit because there is provision made for staff training, curriculum reform. Approximately 1,600 teaching staff at primary and secondary schools will benefit from training geared to enhance competencies in key academic subjects and non-academic areas. And if I can mention some of those areas, instructional leadership, literacy and numeracy, which is key for improvement at our primary and secondary schools, secondary education subjects, especially in the teaching of science, differentiated instruction, assessment, and multi-grade teaching. Well, you need a multi-grade teaching for schools like Gebara, Vijay, and Buto. These schools, you know, very small schools, and you need a multi-grade teaching. Teachers must be competent enough to be able to deal because they have students of varying abilities in one class, varying grades. Early childhood screening and diagnosis of learning difficulties, general editing and desk publishing. We also need to train some of our teachers with the use of computers, but because with the advent of putting computers in all our schools, we must ensure that the teachers know how to use the computers themselves. And not only know how to use the computers, but they should be able to use the computers to teach, to help with their lessons. The integration of technology in education, and approximately 210 education officers, principals, and vice principals will be beneficiaries of management skills enhancement training. So we're going to train both teachers, principals, vice principals in our education system. We want to begin the first set of training in July this year. And of course, the other cycle will begin soon after that training is completed. Alongside it, we have the TVET, the Technical Vocational Education and Training. We have a national TVET framework and the establishment of systems for national certification and accreditation of skills where two of the ministries measure for us. We have St. Lucia, as was said by the member for Ancillary, has five medical schools, and I think the principal, the PM mentioned this. And we must ensure that these schools are accredited. And so we are working together. We are trying to establish an accreditation agency. We are working the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Education together. Plus, we are also going to use the instrument set by CARICOM to ensure that these schools operate under one system. And we are hoping that we will have a consultation sometime next month, May, to discuss the accreditation bill. And when that is done, after we have gotten the input from the public generally and other stakeholders, then of course we will present that bill to Parliament for debate and to ensure that we have this instrument to guide us to set standards for our schools generally, our institutions, and for our offshore schools. Along with those initiatives, of course, we have the OECS Skills for Inclusive Growth Project run by NSDC. And there are three major interlinked components. We have component one, skills training for unemployed youth, and $3.56 million is for that program. We have component two, improving the policy framework for training, and we have $0.84 million. Component three, project management and institutional strengthening, and we have $0.92 million. So we have with the OECS Skills Training Center, we have these three components, and the NFCC, as you know, they have decentralized their training with centers now in Pasir. They are building a new center in Black Bay that will be commissioned soon, and also there is a center in Choiseul. And of course, a number of young persons will get the opportunity to get themselves trained in different skills. And of course, the subjects for the skills training are hospitality services, construction, ICT, and agro-processing and agriculture. So they will get an opportunity to learn a number of skills which they can use to qualify themselves for the job market. So all of these initiatives are taking place side by side within the Ministry of Education. Under this program as well. The registration of trainees and commencement of technical training. After conducting 32 community outreach meetings in all districts across Indonesia and evaluating over 1,400 applicants from unemployed individuals requesting training in various occupational areas within the sectors of hospitality, construction, agriculture, and information communication and technology, 136 participants were selected to participate in the first training cycle, which commenced on September 6, 2010. Of course, with the hurricane of passage of Hurricane Thomas, we had some difficulties. And 100 students, with 100 students, and on October 1st, 2010, with 36 students towards certification in the following areas. But again, we had difficulties because of Hurricane Thomas. Commis chef, housekeeping, room and laundry attendant, food and beverage service, restaurant server, electrical installation, tourism, tour guiding. And of course, one of the subjects or the areas that persons will be trained in that new center in Beaufort is butchering. This has become a new subject. A lot of people might say, well, what is there in the subject of butchering? Anybody can butcher. But what that is going to do is to teach them to do it correctly and to have different cuts of meat so that instead of cutting your meat with all the bones and all the flesh and selling that one price, you will be able to dissect your animal and be able to sell the various parts at different prices. So this is one of the courses that they will be doing in that new center. Plus, of course, some of our people, they do tiling, of course, a number of other areas. Now, there are other projects funded. The other projects funded, we have World Youth Alliance and Health Family Life. And that project sponsored for the health and this program was sponsored jointly with the Ministry of Health through the efforts of Ambassador Sarah Flood Bobre to the tune of $1.5 million. The Youth Path, sponsored by UNESCO. Post-secondary and tertiary education. I think this one is important. We'll go to this one. Youth Path, yes. The demand for post-secondary and tertiary education in St. Lucia has increased over the years. And in addition to the increase in the number of graduates expected from universal secondary education and the increased cost of tertiary education outside St. Lucia, the government of St. Lucia has begun the process to upgrade the Apollos Community College into a full-fledged university college. Yes, that is true. The upgrade will increase access to post-secondary and tertiary education, which will afford students from poor families a greater opportunity to access tertiary education. So far, a project manager and a project administration officer have been appointed. And what they are doing, they are going to try to set up the philosophical statement that captures the vision, mission, and concept of the university college. They are working on that right now. We also have some critical areas for the transformation which we are looking at now. A new act to govern the university college, new governance, organizational and administrative structure, We are looking at the academic degrees, although that some of this has been decided, but we need to look at that again. Accreditation and recognition of those degrees, new policies and procedures, ensuring that you have the appropriate and competent teaching faculty, which means that people may have to be, in fact, trained, or some people are already in training, and also the greatest financial and other resources. And once we have looked into this, and of course we are looking at partnerships with other institutions, just today I received communication from the Open University asking for a meeting to discuss some sort of partnership, especially as it relates to the A-level college, because there has been suggestion that you either have your A-level program at your secondary schools, or you develop what is known as an A-level institute. Now, to have it at the secondary schools will be problematic. I can assure you that it will be problematic. So the best option is to have an A-level institute. And probably we must begin to look at our students transforming from the A-level to the KIT subject, which is offered by CXC. So these are the things we have to look at. We need to discuss those issues. We also have to begin to look at establishing a technical institution as well, because of what we foresee happening at our secondary school with the falling roles and the possibility that if the trend continues, you will find that some students will not opt for certain secondary schools, and we might have the space at those secondary schools to create the technical institution, and we can also use one of these institutions to even institute our A-level institute. Because some of these schools, take a school like Marigo, for example, it's well equipped with modern labs, there is space, there is a large auditorium, you know, there are a number. Grand Rivier also is well equipped with labs. We have, of course, this AFA Community College farm close by, you know. So there are a number of options, but as I said, we need to sit down and discuss these things. Bring in the stakeholders, discuss these issues. There are certain consultancies going on, amounting to $68,553. Consultancies in human resource audits, student services, establish institutional research unit, improve governance structure, and key committees. These are ongoing. Things we need to do for the upcoming year, we'll continue to work on the following relevant developments in the education sector. The upgrade on Sir Arthur Lewis, emphasis on early childhood education and building a strong foundation at the primary school level. We might begin to look at if much space is created at the primary school, whether we cannot facilitate part of the early childhood education within that system. We have to look at this. As I said, these are ongoing things. Continuation of the economic reconstruction program, that's by CDB. Implementation of the education enhancement program through ICT. Ensuring that students leave secondary schools with employable skills and with at least 5 subjects, including English and mathematics. Diversify certification offering to include writing of the Caribbean Certificate of Secondary Level Competence, to be written by all form 3. Funding for reconstruction of deteriorating school buildings and procure equipment and furniture for schools to ensure conducive learning and working environments for all. Modernize and uphold integrity of school plans, ensuring that all our students are multilingual and in some cases trilingual with the introduction of French and Spanish. Finding an alternative to suspension in school and minimizing after school loitering. Strengthening and expand welfare and support services, safety nets for children with special needs, health and family life, gifted children, the poor, disabled, HIV/AIDS, students at risk, orphans, etc. And also make provision to give those persons a second chance in life. Expand the use of information and communication technologies in the teaching, learning, and research processes. Survey level of literacy of the national level and implement programs to eradicate illiteracy and to sustain functional levels of literacy. Well, as we do continue to decentralize the NSDC training for youths and training in castries, Pastia, Shoshone, and Black Bay. We already have this form. We want to continue to do so that more young persons will get the opportunities to train. Diversify education. We spoke about a while ago the introduction of modern languages, which is Spanish and French. Of course, ensure that music education continues, theater arts, physical education at the primary school level. Okay, what we want to do here now, I've already done so, I want to thank all the persons who work within the Ministry of Education. We want to thank, as I said, the principals, the teachers, education officers, the administrative staff, persons working in the various units of the Ministry of Education. We want to thank the donor countries that gave us assistance. We want to thank UNICEF. We want to thank Lucilec, WASCO, which I didn't mention, NEMO, the Red Cross, the churches, the Salvation Army. I think I forgot all of those persons. We want to thank them for giving us assistance, especially after Hurricane Thomas. With this, Madam Speaker, I would like to turn quickly to constituency development and link this to my constituency. First of all, Madam Speaker, I want to take this opportunity to thank the people of Miku South for their continued support. I have always tried to serve you, my people, with pride and dignity in executing my duties both as Minister of Education and Parliamentary Representative. We know that things have not been easy, that we have had hard economic times, though not the worst, I must say. We realize that there has been less cash flow because of fallen revenue. Some of you do not have an income because of the destruction of the banana industry. As a result, finance is not readily available to all that we propose. The global economic situations, the high food prices, the high cost of fuel, the adverse weather conditions, and namely the droughts first of all, and then the ravages of Hurricane Thomas, made it very difficult for government to operate at its optimum. Jobs were hard to come by, more so with the devastation of our banana plantation and food crops. However, I am pleased to say that in spite of all the odds, and the various challenges that we faced, we were able to achieve some measure of success. Government provided stimulus packages and constituency projects that helped to cushion the effects of the financial crunch. I must at this juncture, on behalf of the people of Miku South, express my gratitude and thanks to the ambassador of the Embassy of the Republic of China, Taiwan, and his government for their generous financial contributions for various projects within the constituency. Such assistance is greatly appreciated, as both financial relief and social benefits were derived by the constituents of Miku South. I ask once again for your patience and understanding, and as we continue to improve conditions within the constituency, we will attempt to tackle our project in phases if needs be, until we have accomplished all of them satisfactorily. Do not let the detractors try to fool or deceive you, my people, by saying that nothing has been done in the constituency. In fact, I stand firmly and say no representative can boast of doing so much in this constituency in such a short term in government. Moi, je l'ai dit, il y a pas million de monde qui a représenté Miku South avant, qui a fait autant de projets comme moi a fait pendant 6 mois nous au gouvernement. Let us look at our road works, which for 10 years the Labour administration did nothing about. Since this government came into power, we have made major improvements to several of our roads in the constituency. We rebuild the following. And I need to put a list of those roads because some people don't seem to know or they don't seem to understand. Remember. Or they deliberately close their eyes. The Jiga Vitowe Lakuville Road. The Tiroche Lakuville Road. The Tiroche Kalexo Road. The Sheikh Monva Road. The Fobwape Spring Road. Concrete drains were added to these roads where possible. And what we are doing, we are still continuing to build concrete roads on these drains. As a matter of fact, just recently, we built another 500 meters of drain, concrete drain on the Jiga Road. And they speak about sea canals. We also built a number of concrete drains on the Fobwape Spring Road. We did a number of repair work and concrete drains on the following roads. The T2 Blasha Road, the new development road in Angers, the Vilpai Angers Road, the Zulu Town Derisa Road, where we built a whole portion of it in concrete, the Maure Blasha Road, where we did the whole hill in concrete with the drains, the Leslie Blasha Road, the T2 Blasha Bypass Road, the Wisboa Number 1 Road in Tiroche, the Bosha Tiroche Residential Road. The Fodla Road is now being rebuilt. We have built half of it in concrete and half of it in asphalt. We are soon to put concrete drains on those roads, on this road. We also gave financial assistance to persons living in the Leslie area to construct a small bridge and a footpath to get to their home, because the area was very muddy and there was a small ravine. With their help, And with the financial assistance, we were able to construct the footpath and the bridge. As I speak, we are now constructing a footpath in a form of a mini road, 8 feet wide, in the Azure area, again, to help people, because there are some elderly people living there, and it's difficult to get them out when it rains. With Bois number 2, Tiwoche Road, we are now constructing a bridge over the ravine. Now, that is the same ravine that runs into the main road, the East Coast Road, after you pass the Chumasi Gap. It is called the Tikanoe Ravine. We are building a bridge there for the people, and we are also going to put drains on that road. We are also going to work on the road at the back of Heritage. All that is down to be done. We have given and continue to give relief on all our by-roads leading to residential areas and roads leading to farms like Chukumel, Degakier. The Pebush Road is down to receive major attention soon, as well as two residential roads in the Bosher area. Ongoing roads. Two major roads are now under construction and should be completed by the middle of the year. The Derisu Highway. I'm sure you must have heard a lot of talk about that road. The promise to rebuild that road was made since 1998, when there was a labor representative. Nothing was done. 98. When Castellanos was the representative there. But nothing happened until this government came into office.
I did remind you of Standing Order 356.
Yes, that's not my job. That was good. There is plenty of work to be done on that road. Concrete drains are being placed on both sides of the road. Even those drains that were already on the road had to be removed because they were much too small to carry the volume of water that runs down the road. On that road, there is the rebuilding and replacement of 9 culverts plus possible rubber walls to be done. I admit that there have been some delays. But with patience, the road will be completed. And when completed, it will be a solid road. And I'm sure it will be a road that will serve us for a number of years, and I put it between 15 and 20 years. And as speaker, I realize that those who are down to oppose me are trying to make mileage by criticizing everything about that road. What a shame. They had 10 years to rebuild it, but nothing was done. Yet, you had complaint after complaint. A lot of empty noises. Of course, a lot of empty noises. But Madam Speaker, there is always history to fall back on. They speak about delays, and they speak about waste of money. I want them to think back of the construction of the West Coast Road under the past government. And I will give them some figures for them to think of. There were constant delays that the government had to pay for. We are not paying for any delays on that road. Also think of the cost overrun on that road of $55 million. There's going to be no cost overrun. While at this, I want them to think, too, of how much Miku North and Miku South were deprived of rebuilding their section of the East Coast Road. Why a UWP constituency being victimized.
Today,
these sections have been rebuilt by this government. We came back and we rebuilt them. And they say we mean nothing. Nothing has been done. And as we speak, Madam Speaker, major culverts works are being undertaken within the two sections of this East Coast Road. There's one in Pastia where the road caved in, and there's major work being done. There is a Tikanowe Bridge and one little further down where work is being done. And they say nothing is being done. I think really there is some form of blindness or deliberate blindness. And they're saying, give me a chance. Give them a chance for what? Give them a chance to treat us worse the next time? No, Mr. Speaker. No, Madam Speaker. No chances. We don't take chances. The other road, the Demisol Vijay Cedar Road from QAC Fund. They don't even see this one. They say this one is at the back. Again, concrete drains are being placed on both sides of this road. And on completion, by the middle of this year, it will only take us about 3 minutes from there to visit. Whereas before we had to go all around, taking us half an hour, 45 minutes. We still don't do anything. In fact, he has asked, the member for Viewport North has half of that road because it comes on the other side of the river. It comes on the other side of the river. That's not true.
Half of the road?
Half of the road. The half of the road goes on your side and half goes on my side. Okay. Stop. Yeah, I know. But I thought you well though. Okay, Madam Chairman, I want to refer to the Likud South District Council. I think the member from Jerinov spoke about the Mabuya Valley District Council. Well, we have also established a district council in the Miko South constituency. Yeah. This council was established, Madam Speaker, to provide local government services and assistance to the people of Miko South. The council has the responsibility to oversee all public buildings in the constituency, as well as overseeing the operation of the Demisol Cemetery. The council, since it came into power, has been instrumental in constructing a number of bus shelters. A bus shelter in Blasha, Demisol, Aje, Chiroshi. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the Fair Trade Group of Chiroshi for sponsoring the bus shelter erected in Lakville. The only main community without a bus shelter is Diga, and we have already sourced money, the money, to construct a bus shelter in Diga. And the people of Diga, in fact, the place has already been identified, and soon they will be getting their bus shelter. The council has given a facelift to the cemetery in an effort to upgrade the services rendered there. And what is happening now? Negotiations are currently underway to acquire or to buy additional land to extend the burial ground, which is very congested. And when that land is acquired, it will provide more scope to regulate the use of the cemetery and to ensure that it is used in a systematic manner. The council also has a responsibility to keep the communities clean. And so, through a team of sanitation employees. They ensure that the community is kept clean. They also try to help organize activities within the constituency. For example, during independence celebration, they try to organize activities for that anniversary, whether it was the 35th anniversary, 41st anniversary, 42nd anniversary. And they try to do that on a yearly basis. Water, another thing that has been spoken to about in my constituency. I know that we have continued to have problems with water. That is a problem that has been there for a while. The problem did not occur when this government came into power. That problem has been there for a very long time. As a matter of fact, the former tank that we had got rusted and had to be demolished. And it took us 3 years to replace it. So we have had problems. We have had problems 3 years to replace it. What has happened is, through the Taiwanese funds, I was able to get a water tank, a big water tank, 100,000 gallons erected in Chiroshi to improve the water system. This is a move to help improve the water system. But we have had problems with connection, and the problem is simple. A lot of people think that you can just do things overnight. I cannot connect the water to the Wasco system. I must work with Wasco. We agreed that the water would have been connected during, just before Hurricane Thomas. But when Hurricane Thomas came about, it destroyed the whole catchment area, going with 80 lengths of 6-inch pipes were destroyed in the process. So to restore the water, Wasco had to build a temporary catchment area to ensure that people get water. This is temporary. What is required now is to go back and build a proper catchment area. So to connect, it is kind of difficult because of the adequacy of the source. The adequacy of the source, can we get enough water to fill the Deriso tank as well as the Chiroshi tank? But thank God, we will solve this problem once and for all. The Prime Minister in his budget speech spoke about water sector reform. And he indicated in the post-Thomas reconstruction program, Deriso will benefit by upgrading its water system. So we are thankful and we are hoping that this will be implemented as soon as possible, so we can get a better water catchment area, and at the same time we can get that tank connected as soon as possible, so that the people of Miku South will no longer have the problems that they have for water, so that both tanks in the Chiroshi area and the Deriso area will provide water to the people. On the spot, Madam Speaker, with the assistance again of Taiwanese funds, we were able to refurbish the following multi-purpose court within the constituency: the Deriso multi-purpose court with a fixed light, which are not yet functioning. And the lights are not functioning because there is a problem. Because of an outstanding debt by the Youth and Sports Council to Lusulet. And Lusulet, as you know, will not reconnect until that is cleared. And we are looking into clearing that now. We must clear this debt before that is clear. The Aja multipurpose court, where the fencing and surface were refurbished. The Duga multipurpose court, where the fencing was refurbished. The Kiroshe multipurpose court where the fencing and surface were refurbished, and we also build a new toilet block for that court. In Lakouville, we built a new multipurpose court at the tune of nearly $500,000. Allowance was made through the use of fillers to the north and eastern side to construct toilet and washroom underneath. And that will happen in due time. So there is provision for washroom and toilet beneath that court. We also provided two basketball rims for the Blusher multipurpose court. And we envisage that lighting will be provided for all the courts. There is already light on the Kiroshe court. All we have to do is to activate it. There is light on the Kiroshe multipurpose court, activate it. We will be putting light on the multipurpose court in Lakouville because it's a new court. So we want to put in the light there as soon as possible, once we can get the proper poles to do so, and then put light on the remaining courts of Blasha, Giga, and Angers. We are also trying to source funding to fence the Angers and Deriso playing fields and to commit to at least lighting up the Deriso field after it has been upgraded by the Ministry of Sports. We are asking the Ministry of Sports to upgrade the Deriso playing field. It was once used as a cricket playing ground, but somehow it's not level. We put drainage around it. We were instrumental in putting drainage around it, but it needs to be upgraded. And once it is upgraded, we will try to fence it, and then we will try to put lighting for that playing field. We are aware that the Ministry of Sports assigned the Bosha playing field to the National Cricket Association. They gave them part of the field for cricket, for their cricket. But the other part, we have no quarrel with that whatsoever. But the other half, we are hoping that the Ministry of Youth and Sport will take responsibility to upgrade that part for the youth in the area for the playing of football. Because they cannot play football on the cricket ground because it is solely for cricket. But there is that half, that other half, which can be upgraded for the playing of football. With the use of Taiwanese funds, we were able also to renovate the Deriso Multipurpose Center, adding 200 folding chairs to it. The Lakouville and Duga Community Centers were also renovated, and we were able to restore electricity to the Duga Center, because without electricity, because again, the people using them were not paying their bill, we were able to do that. We were able to construct the Baobab Park in Biga with fencing, concrete drains, toilet block, water tank, and pits. Now the Baobab is named after a tree called the Baobab tree. That tree is a native tree to Africa. I don't think you can find that tree anywhere else in St. Lucia, nor the wider Caribbean, nor Latin America. So that is a special tree. We don't know how it came there, but it is there. It seems to have been there from the time of slavery. That tree, it is said that that tree has a lifespan of between 2,000 and 6,000 years, and there's a whole lot of history. You can research it for yourself on the net. It's spelled B-A-O-B-A-B, the Baobab tree. And what we have done, we have made brochures of those trees, of that tree, and we have sent to the Ministry of Tourism to sort of advertise for us, and we have also sent it to the MTA, which is responsible for parks and beaches. So we are hoping that that tree will become publicized. The people of St. Lucia know about it, and they can go out there and visit. That is why we ensure we put toilets and sticks and put drainage and the park, and we will put a bus shelter close to it so that people can shelter if they have to take a bus to travel from where they live to Diga. Under education, through the Ministry of Education and Culture, we try to provide for the physical maintenance of the three primary schools in the constituency and the secondary school, the Ayrshire Secondary School. We also try to provide the necessary equipment and furniture. Before the in-time program, we were able to ensure that the Tiroche Primary School had 10 computers. We were also able to ensure that the Blasher Combined School had 10 computers, and the Deriso Combined School had a computer lab already, so there was no provisions made for them. For the past 2 years, we have also tried to provide youth, because things of the banner industry has been destroyed, mainly the people there have been farmers. We have been trying to provide the needy students with school materials and supplies every September. We try to do that so that we can assist the parents. And that is also to help with the welfare program administered by the Ministry of Education. Just recently, again with Taiwanese funds, we were able to provide the two libraries in the constituency, the Deriso Library and the Siroshi Library, with 4 computers each, 1 photocopier each, and a printer. And the reason for this is to sort of have a collaboration between library service and information service. So while they go out there and do some reading, and they want to do some research, because we have also put in the internet there for them, if they want to do some research, they can go to the computer and do the research. So, because this is what is being advocated now, the combination of library service with information service. And during Library Week last week, this was the theme, library services with information service, the cutting edge. So we are trying to do that. We are also trying to ensure, as Minister of Education, that this happens in all our libraries in St. Lucia. That is just a beginning, and we are trying to ensure that all libraries have this kind. And of course, something else that would be necessary at those libraries is a scanner to do some scanning for the materials that they need. We know that, as I said in my address, prior to the constituency matters, we said that the NSDC Skills Training Center has been established in Fasia, and that one will be opening in Blackbay soon. These centers are established to give our young people a second chance, those who went to school and did not perform well, to learn a skill so that they can market themselves for the world of work. And I want to impress upon the young people of the Miku South constituency to take to grab this opportunity of trying to gain skills training. Fasias is not too far away. Viewport is not too far away. And they should try to go out there and get themselves trained. That will give them a second chance so that they can probably go out into the world market and find a job. And we also, I mentioned previously, there is the EU Education Enhancement Project for the integration of ICT, where computers will be set in the various primary schools in this constituency. And then the young people and other persons will have an opportunity to go out there after schools and to learn to use the computer. They will have the access will be provided for them. I want them to take this opportunity to better themselves, take the opportunity to become computer literate. And lastly, Madam Speaker, the Ayrshire Agricultural Rural Center. This center has been refurbished to facilitate agro-processing and also to facilitate the buying of agricultural produce. It will become an agricultural depot for buying agricultural produce. During that time also, a new building was constructed for the processing of cocoa. So cocoa will also be bought and processed at that center, because there's a new building for that. Cocoa, as you know, is in very high demand now and fetches a very high price on the world market. Right now, they don't even allow cocoa to dry. You just remove it and they buy it wet and they process it because it's so much in demand, you don't have to finish it dry and sell. You just cut it, wash it out, and you can sell it and you get a good price for it. This agro-processing project will provide opportunities for approximately 15 young persons in this constituency to participate in the Youth Agri-Entrepreneurial Project under the auspices of the Ministry of Agriculture. Those young persons will be provided with land, because in that same area, there are about over 50 acres of government land. They'll be provided the land to engage in farming enterprises and to cultivate produce that they can utilize for agro-processing at this rural center. Madam Speaker, to complement all of this, for over 10 years now, Madam Speaker, I have been in touch with the elderly people. I keep in touch with them. I make sure every Christmas we visit them, at least. I visit them at other times, but at least provide them with a little package to make them feel good for the Christmas. For over 10 years I've been there, even before I was in Parliament, I used to do that. We do the same for the children. Every year we try to entertain, especially those children who are needy, who probably would never get a toy, get them a toy. I have a little party for them every year. For over 10 years we do the thing. And we will continue to do this. Because we want to keep in touch with our people. We want to ensure that nobody's left out. The children are not left out. The youth are not left out. The elderly are not left out. We want to take care of everybody. So, Madam Speaker, what I want to say to my people of Miku South is that there is still a lot of work to be done in order to elevate our standard of living in the Miku South constituency. I say our because that's where I live and that's the way I am at. There are more projects to be undertaken, more roads to be improved. However, let me indicate that plans are underway to build a resource center at Lakuville. There are also plans to build a multi-purpose center for Angers in the next fiscal year. In all the areas, you have multi-purpose centers. You have in Blanchard, you have in Derisou, you have in Chiroshi, you have a community center in Viga, you have a community center in Lakuville, as you have done. So we are proposing that is one of the things we must do. There is already the land available. All we have to do is to source the funds to ensure that a multi-purpose center is built in Asia in the next fiscal year. So, my people of Miku South, what I ask for is to continue to work with me. Let us work together for the constant improvement of our constituency. We have worked together with little difficulty. You can reach me, although you know that I work in Castries on most days, but you know you can reach me on the Wednesday or the weekend. I'm not like you guys. I want, Madam Speaker, to thank the people of Miku South once again, and I want to tell them that I look forward for their support throughout the rest of the year and in time to come. Thank you, Madam Speaker.